God said, Amen. You know, it appears to many that there are two resurrections that are mentioned here in this message of Christ to the Pharisees. There is, of course, the resurrection known as the resurrection of conversion. In verse 24, we read those words very clear. And it certainly has nothing to do with the last or the final resurrection, but it has to do with a different one. And in verses 24, we read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 25, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now that has nothing to do with the dead that are in the graves. That has to do with the spiritual dead. And this resurrection that our Lord was speaking about has to do with conversion. There is a resurrection, a quickening, a making alive, a new birth that is linked to the hearing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is known as a resurrection of conversion, whereby a man, a woman, a fallen son or daughter of Adam's sinful race, spiritually cut off from God, dead in sins and trespasses, are regenerated by the Spirit of God through the hearing of the Word of God. They are quickened, they are made alive, and they rise from the deadness of their sin to a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is a resurrection in regard to condemnation and consolation. You notice there in the verses 28 and 29, this one has to do with the body. The first one has to do with the soul, with the spirit within a man or a woman. This one now has to do with the body that is in the grave prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice what it says in verses 28 and 9. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, that is, that are saved, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, rejected Christ, unto the resurrection of damnation. There's never a time in any committal service or graveyard experience, whether I'm there as a mourner, whether I'm there as a participant in the service, or whether I'm there officiating, there's never a single burial, and I will have a funeral this week. There's not a single one that I don't stand in that graveyard and watch every grave I pass by and think, where do you stand with God? Where will you be when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God? And those graveyards will be made alive. They're centers for the dead today. They're not nice places to go to, and we know that. They're not places that you would frequent on a regular basis except to pay respects to a loved one or a dear one. But what I will say is this, that one day those graves are going to open, and the dead, that body, no matter how many years it's spent in the ground, should it be from the 1700s right up until 2022 or until the Lord returns again, no matter what state that body is in by way of corruption and decay, it will come together. And it will be raised out of the grave at the voice of the Son of God. And it will come forth. That body that's sown in corruption will be raised, brought together. And that body will be suited either for heaven with the soul and the spirit, or for hell. Because people mock today, don't they? When they tell us, well, how could hell be real? You can't even put your finger in the fire and the coal or in the gas stove, and you can't put your finger in the oven, and you'll soon see that it wouldn't last. So how could you be in hell for all eternity? Very simple, because this verse tells us that those bodies will be raised and they will be fitted and they will be suited for either heaven or hell. This body at present of mine would not be suited for heaven. It has to be changed. It has to be made like unto his glorious body. Now, I'm not into gardening, but I've just planted something that our brother Derek gave me, and I just want to let you know it's planted. I've planted many things. There's not one thing in 2 years has come up yet. I think my wife planted the daffodils upside down. We just turned the pot over and cut the bottom of it. Now, I'm only Jesse. She did. She planted them upside down. They had a hard job trying to find their way up again. But I want to tell you this. I planted that and it looked like nothing. Sorry, Derek. and looked absolutely dead. But I saw the picture that it's meant to be in a few months' time. And it's nothing like what I planted. And no doubt, if you want the illustration, don't come to my house, because it'll probably remain the same that I planted it. It'll never grow. Probably planted it now in the wrong place. But you know, the body will be sown in corruption. It'll be raised a different body. Just as you would take the little sunflower seed, and that's all the size of it. And you would say, what would that ever produce? There's nothing lovely or beautiful about that. Put it in the ground and suddenly it becomes something that you would never imagine. Who would imagine that that little seed would become something in the region of 6 feet tall, with a beautiful sunflower and stem and the colours, and a beautiful, beautiful head of flower. And so there's a resurrection in regard to conversion. It's called the new birth. It's called salvation. And then there's a resurrection of consolation, the just, those that are saved, and damnation, those that are lost. One relates to an experience in time, the other to the experience of eternity. One is conditional, that is, in its application. Those who hear effectually the call of Christ in the gospel and respond positively and repent and believe, they will share in both those resurrections. A resurrection of a dead soul and spirit in Christ who makes you alive unto God. And a resurrection of the body one day. Christ returns, where body and soul and spirit meet together, and they're forever with the Lord, a body made like unto His glorious body. The one is universal in its declaration, because it says all who hear the voice of the Son of God, that is, every single person. I know people have said to me, well, what happens if you're cremated? What happens if your ashes were sprinkled in the sea? What happens if they were cast, as they have been done, into the air, and the air has carried them away? Can I tell you something? That your body never ceased to exist. Every single molecule, that's right. Every single atom of your body never ceased to exist. It's in existence to this day, and God will call it together at the resurrection. And He will call that body, no matter where it is. You can take part of those ashes, and you could scatter them in Australia. You could scatter them perhaps in a secret place known to no one but yourself, the ashes of a loved one. You could bury them where no one knows, but God does. And every single molecule and atom will come together, and they will form that body again, and soul and spirit enter that into that body. It will be suited either for heaven and the bliss and the enjoyment. My heart would burst. The human organ would burst if I entered heaven in this body. I've got to have a body like unto His glorious body. This body would be destroyed if it was dropped into hell right now. This body would perish. But you're given a body at the resurrection that's suited for heaven to enjoy the life of your Maker. Or a body that's suited with soul and all inside it, that's suited for hell and the everlasting torment and burnings of the place the Bible calls hell. However, it's clear that only those who share and have the experience of that first resurrection of conversion will enter into the joyous resurrection of consolation and comfort and everlasting life. Those who die without Christ are spiritually dead. That is, they're cut off from the life and enjoyment of their Maker. And when they die like that, they remain in that state, in that condition. There is no change eternally. They remain spiritually dead. Oh, they're alive. They're conscious. Luke 16. But they have no life, no enjoyment, no peace, no happiness. They have no comfort. They have nothing. It is an existence of misery and torment, and all they've got to look forward to is the same forever. And forever. Therefore it is important that you and I are partakers before the last judgment, or you die or the Lord returns, that you are a partaker of that first resurrection that the Lord spoke of in John 5 and the verses 24 and 5. That is the resurrection that you pass from death unto life. You come out of darkness into light, and you are translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I want you to think tonight about those two resurrections. There's some things I believe that will give us instruction on Resurrection Day. I want you to notice, first of all, that salvation is linked inseparably to the hearing of the words of Christ. That's what our Lord said in this verse. Let's read the verse. I want you to read it tonight. I want you to see this. That statement that I have made is straight from the Bible. Look what it says in verse 24. Verily, that is, of a truth, I say unto you who am the truth. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then notice what it says in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, that's the spiritual dead, they're physically alive on earth, but they hear the call of God effectually by the Spirit, and they hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, in other words, shall have everlasting life. Paul took up on those very words of Christ when he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what do we have today? We have across this land many churches, and they have no evening service, no preaching of the gospel. They have a 15-minute epilogue, a little Easter singing time. That's all they have. No church opened. No gospel preached. And yet the Lord linked inseparably the hearing of the words of Christ to salvation. And where the gospel is not preached, no soul can ever be saved. And therefore, if there is a body of people and they carry a name of a denomination or a separate independent body and they don't preach the word of God, then no soul will ever be saved. Because linked to salvation and everlasting life are the hearing of the words of Christ. And it's good that you have come here. And by the way, there are many other places in this province that preach the gospel. And we will admit that, and we will acknowledge that, because it's right. But I want to tell you something. Many hear the words of Christ. Many do sit in good, sound gospel preaching churches, evangelical churches, Christ-centered, biblically based churches. And they do hear the word of God. But it doesn't seem to impact them. It doesn't seem that they pass from death unto life. It doesn't seem that they move from darkness into light. It doesn't seem that they're translated, taken from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In other words, the word of God, the hearing of it, does not impact them. It's as though they can literally cast it off. It's as though they've got a shield and it bounces off them and they don't hear. It never seems to penetrate their heart, never seems to saturate their mind, never seems to get into the kink of the armor of their resistance of the gospel naturally. And sinner, how many times, both in this meeting and those that are listening on the internet, have you heard the words of Christ? And those words are linked inseparably to salvation and eternal life. And yet you've never responded. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never been converted to Christ. How often have you heard the call to repent of your sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to come to Him, confessing those sins, and ask Him into your heart to forgive those sins and to save you from them? You see, some hear casually. In other words, the words go in one ear and out the other. They're casual hearers of the gospel. The Lord had those kind of hearers in mind when He spoke about the parable of the sower. I'm not going to delve into that. I hope in the will of God at some stage in our gospel meetings to preach on the parable of the sower over 4 weeks' time. That is, 1 week after the other for 4 weeks. But some hear casually. Maybe that's how you're hearing the gospel. The young people brought up in a Christian home, for instance, and they've heard the gospel from their mother's knee. There's some who have gone to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher has just reinforced the gospel to those little boys and girls. They've gone to the Tuesday night mustard seed meeting, and they've heard the gospel again. Some have heard it in the school. Some here have heard it in the state school and in the Christian school. Some have heard it from their friends, and some have been brought to the gospel meeting in the morning and in the evening, like tonight. And they've heard for years, but they're what is known as casual hearers. In other words, they simply have a take it or leave it attitude to hearing the gospel, without realizing that when you hear the gospel once, you must respond right away. You have no right, neither have I, to hear the gospel the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time. And there are individuals on this earth today, on this planet, and they've never heard the preaching of Christ. They've never known that God has a Son, and that He's co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, and He came by virgin birth into this world, and He died upon a cross. And how many times have you heard the gospel message? Easter after Easter, Christmas after Christmas, gospel night after gospel night, mission after mission, meeting after meeting. And you're a casual hearer. A take it or leave it attitude. Well, doesn't really matter. It does. As I told you, salvation is inseparably linked to the hearing aright of the words of Christ. That's what this chapter's all about. Some not only hear casually, but some hear carelessly. In other words, they hear about sin. They hear about its terrible consequences if they die in that sin, in hell, the torment, the terror, the pain. They hear about the awful punishment that is visited upon sin, upon the sinner, in the place the Bible calls hell. They hear it. But they hear casually. They hear about the eternal consequences. And they maybe even acknowledge it to a degree and say, yes, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell and I know that I need to be saved. But you're careless. You neglect. You put it off. You remain obstinate for whatever reason known only to you. And that's why we vary our preaching, trying to hit the nail on the head for you, that maybe we'll just hit the nail on the head and it'll be you we're talking about. Maybe that's the case tonight. You're nothing but a casual hearer and you're just hearing carelessly. In other words, that you might hear the message of God's love in Christ. You might even understand something of what Christ went through at the cross when He suffered and bled and died alone that you might be saved. But you've little or no thought about it. Is that how you hear the word of God? Some hear continually. Sunday after Sunday. Day after day. They hear the gospel, but they're not saved. To date, it's fallen on deaf ears. It's those words literally of repentance and faith are literally cast off and they're dismissed so easily, even though they hear continually how favored and privileged and blessed you are. Some hear contemptuously. That is, they treat it with disdain. May even say, well, that's not for me. Salvation's for the down and out. Salvation is for the murderer. Salvation's for the prostitute. Salvation is for the drug abuser. Salvation's for the alcoholic. Those that are addicted to gambling. Those that are addicted to smoking. Those that are addicted to all these things in the world. Those that are at the lower ends of life. I'm not there, you know. I'm a respectable church-going person. You know, I'm a good person. Maybe that's how you hear the gospel. With contempt. As if it doesn't apply to you. As if you're not being spoken to. As if you're not the sinner. You know, some hear convincingly. And I'm glad they hear convincingly. The gospel is literally music to their ear. It is sweet to their taste. It's refreshing to their sin-sick soul. It is, I believe, of eternal benefit to them. They receive the words of Christ and they're saved by sovereign grace. How important it is that you hear those words. But equally important, that your response is positive. That hearing those words of Christ, the call on the gospel to repent and believe, that you come and you receive Christ as your own and personal Savior. I want you to think quickly and secondly, that all is not over when you die. Notice in verses 28 and 9, all is not over when you die. There's no such thing as annihilation. We will live forever. We will live forever. There's life after death. Look at verse 28 and 9. The Lord said, marvel not at this. Don't be astonished. Don't be disbelieving. Don't marvel. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. So how can a dead person hear? How can a dead person hear? All who are in the graves shall hear. They will hear. Their soul and their body will be joined together. You see, they exist. Even hundreds of years after they're in the grave, the body at least, the soul is with the Lord, or it's in hell. The soul never dies. But that body will be raised. And that body will be called forth. And then verse 29, shall come forth they that have done good, those that are saved, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, that have rejected the Lord, unto the resurrection of damnation. In other words, there will be a resurrection. All is not over when you die, friend. You've got to see that tonight. You've got to realize that the Easter message centers on these very words. All is not over when you die. Have you ever thought about your soul? Where that soul would be after your body is laid into Mother Earth. This Thursday, in the will of God, I will partake and help out for the funeral service of a lady who's in her 91st year. I first met her when she was 89 years of age. I was on holiday up in Portrush, and her brother, Norman McElroy, got a phone call to say the Reverend Martin said he was on holiday. These two ladies were listening into the services. He said he's not out of the country, and therefore he will be available for funerals and for emergency calls. As a direct result of that, I got a phone call from Norman McElroy to say that there was a lady. He called her Anna Knox. Her sister is Margaret McGee. They live out the Carrickmannan Road just outside Ballygan. And she said these words to Norman. I know the Reverend Martin's on holiday, but he did say that he's available if there's funerals, there's death, or emergency calls. And I think this is an emergency because my sister is under conviction and she's been like that for 3 weeks and she needs to get saved. And Norman phoned me and he says, I know you're on holiday, but you did say. So I wasn't getting out of it. My brother Robert Shanks and his wife Margaret, we were up in Portrush together. We'd arranged a fishing trip. And I had a bigger catch in Ballygan to go and fish for the Lord. Our brother and the crew went out on the boat. Did you get anything that day, Robert? Did you? Yeah. Aye, okay. I was going to say they got nothing, but they did. They got a few. But I went down and had the joy of pointing her to the Lord. God willing, I will help with the funeral service. But I'm saying to you, she's now with the Lord. We'll only lay her earthly remains into earth, into the ground. Dust thou art, unto the dust thou shalt return. But her soul is with the Lord. She is with Christ, which is better by far. Death is not the end, my friend. One day we shall come forth out of the grave and stand before Almighty God. You cannot escape the summons. And when Christ's voice calls the dead, all will hear, and your body will be raised, and your soul and body will be cast into the lake of fire, or entered into the joy of the Lord forevermore, even though your soul is already there in heaven, because the soul never dies. It lives on after death. Your soul at death will either be in heaven or in God's hell. It'll either be in heaven washed in the blood, saved by sovereign grace, or will drop into hell because you're unconverted and you're not saved and you died without Christ. All that are in the grave shall hear Christ's voice and they'll come forth, the body, the soul, and then eternal destinies will be sealed. Heaven or hell, saved or lost, glory or despair. Where will you spend eternity? Better to come now, sinner, this Easter night, and trust Christ as your Savior. Notice thirdly and finally, we'll not all be raised in the same condition. You know, verse 29 tells us that. Look what it says. Verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of life. The resurrection of damnation. It is a fallacy. It is a myth to preach, to teach, to imagine, or to believe that all go to heaven when they die. And I have heard the scripture quoted. I've been at funeral services attending them. I have heard a minister coming in, asking the congregation to stand to their feet. And I have heard him quote and misquote the word of God. And he says, blessed are the dead. You say, well, that's in the Bible. Of course it is. But it's not the whole truth. In fact, it's a lie if it's not quoted right. Blessed are the dead. That's what he says. Why did he not finish the verse? Because then he would have to admit that there's an experience needed before you can be called the blessed dead. I want to tell you something that verse tells me. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Which die in the Lord. That's what it says. It is not blessed are the dead, because all the dead are not blessed. Luke 16 speaks of the wicked dead. The Bible speaks of hell, the place of disembodied souls and spirits who float about in outer darkness and never meet another human being or a devil or a demon. I want to tell you something. There is a place of the righteous dead, and there is a place of the wicked dead. And the Bible tells us that we will not all rise in the same condition. In other words, you and I will not all be in heaven. There'll be some present here tonight, and you will be in heaven saved by grace, but there may be some who will die in their sin, and where Jesus is, they'll never be. And I'm not here to be popular, or to look for some pat on the back at the door. And you can shoot the messenger if you want. You can argue all you want with me, but this is the word of the Lord. The resurrection of the just to life eternal. The resurrection of the unjust unto damnation. Verse 29 clearly teaches that at the resurrection there are two classes of people and two conditions of body and soul. Some are raised to glory. Praise the Lord for that. But some are raised to damnation and their body is fitted for hell, as I explained, and I'll not labour the point. All are raised. That's for sure. All will be raised. Some to everlasting life. Will that be you? And some to everlasting death and eternal ruin. One company raised to everlasting consolation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And others to everlasting contempt and shame with the devil and his angels. Remember, these are the words of Christ. They are inseparably linked to eternal life. And sinner, you need to hear aright tonight. Hear and your soul shall live. Hear and you shall have life. These words are truth. They cannot be broken. The dead will be raised. One to peace, the other to pain. One to consolation, the other to condemnation. One to eternal life, heaven. One to eternal ruin, hell. Now as I close, let me ask you the question. Just allow me to come near to you and to have a private conversation with you as an individual. I want you to look at me. Listen to me as I close this service. Which resurrection will be your resurrection? The resurrection of life because you're saved? Or the resurrection of damnation because you're lost? Hear Christ's words tonight. Just now, as it commands you to repent of your sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then come to Christ as a sinner and tell him you're sorry for those sins and believe that he died for you on the cross, that he suffered for you and that he endured your hell in order that your sins might be forgiven and you might have eternal life, and you'll share in these two resurrections, the resurrection of conversion and the resurrection of consolation. On the last day, when your soul, which will always be with the Lord if you're saved, will be joined with your body, and body and soul will enter into glory, or body and soul will enter into hell. Oh, hear his word tonight as it reminds you of his love for sinners. He died the just for the unjust. Hear his word tonight. He that heareth my words and believeth, hear, believe, your soul will live. You will have everlasting life. Remember what I said to you. Those words of Christ are linked to eternal life. Don't be a casual hearer tonight or a careless hearer. But come with conviction and say, tonight's the night that I... Put your name in there. I, no matter who else does or doesn't come, Tonight is the night that I must be saved. I must come to Christ. I must have eternal life. Tonight is the night of the resurrection to conversion. And then you will share with many in the resurrection of consolation. Sinner, hear Christ's words tonight and thou shalt live. And you'll share in those two resurrections. The resurrection of conversion and the resurrection of consolation. May you hear those words. May the Spirit quicken you in the deadness of your sin and bring your soul to new life in Christ. Hear, and your soul shall live. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the preaching of thy holy word. Do bless that word to our hearts just now. Encourage us in the things of God. And Father, be pleased to move and work by thy Spirit. We ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. I wonder, could the choir just sing one verse of that hymn? Some of our young people may have to leave. They're going over to the Martyrs, to the meeting, the youth rally over there. We'll understand that. If you want to make your way over to the Martyrs Memorial for that youth rally, then feel just free to leave the service just now. And we just have the choir sing just the first verse only. Kyle, is that okay? Of that final song that we were singing, God's Final Call. Just the first verse and... the chorus. Is there a chorus in it? No? No, there's no chorus in it. I'm in the choir like you wouldn't think it, would you? We'll sing the first and the last verses then, and not take us too long since there's no chorus in that final piece. We'll ask the choir to come forward, and I think they have it up already. Okay, thank you. Verses 1 and 3, Kyle. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray that it will not be so for sinners in this meeting house and those who hear the words of Christ, but rather they will respond to this final call and grant, O God, that they will turn to Christ tonight. And we ask, Lord, that you will work even beyond the meeting when the voice of man grows cold and silent and those words fall to the ground and die. Let the words of Christ live on. And effectually, O God, may the sinner hear with the understanding and receive with the heart and be converted to Christ. Part us now in thy fear. Take of our thanks for the ministry and song and for those who have gathered and for help in preaching. And Father, as we leave the house prayerfully and carefully, pondering the things that we have heard, we pray that precious souls will wait behind and turn and seek the Lord. We offer this our prayer, giving thanks in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. The choir may be seated.